coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It's Tuesday, November 28th, 2023. I want to thank you to everyone out there. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform. I really appreciate it. There's a lot of news to get into, as usual. Eric the Tech and I, we were talking before the show. You know what? Maybe I should become a barista. What do you think? A coffee barista.
Make some good coffee.
I do. Hey, we have some great coffee, too. I actually made him a cup of Detective's Choice. That's right, with a little bit of extra, something extra in there. So if the picture gets fuzzy,
zing.
Yeah, really. Folks, remember when you switch on the alternative media, if you're listening to this, obviously you're aware of listening to alternative media, and there's different flavors of alternative media out there. There's really all sorts. Okay. You can go from, my goodness, I suppose you could consider Bannon and Carlson alternative media, although they're more mainstream, I suppose. You can me, I'm just a guy with a microphone. My profession is an investigator. That's what Eric the Tech is as well. And I mean, you know, so we cover quite a bit of ground. But what's happening today is the legacy media, the people, the mainstream media, what you would know them as, they cannot afford anymore. They can't afford to really allow the alternative media to speak truthfully. De Niro, I guess, in some awards ceremony, spouted a bunch of bull crap yesterday or the day before or the past weekend. I don't know when it was. I just saw the clip. You know, they're losing the propaganda war. Now, it might not seem that way, but they are. And with that loss, with the losing of the propaganda, it's becoming more dangerous for alternative media. And look, folks, I've gotten literally 50 to 100 emails. Probably closer to 100. I understand Dave Hodges was taken off YouTube. And I'll ask Dave to write directly to him. What the hell are you doing on YouTube anyway? It's a communist platform. They're a bunch of friggin' communists. Get off YouTube. You should have been on there anyway. I mean, they won't have me on there, which is fine. I don't need to be on the communist platform. Eric and I don't need to be on the communist platform. But what's this all about? Let me remind you again that 1% of the population control all of the people in the world. And that 1%'s got the money. 4% of the population are their puppets. Now follow me on math. That's 5% of the people. 90% of the people are pretty much asleep. They're zombified. They're just or uninformed. Maybe some of that 90% is curious. I don't know. And then so that's 95% total. And then there are 5% who are awake and who are sounding the alarms. And that's us, and that's you. But let's also remember that the 1% use the 4% that I referenced to stop the 5% who are awake and sounding the alarm from waking up the 90%. Once you understand that, you've got the formula, the mathematical formula for the fight in which we find ourselves. Now, I want to tell you this as well. One of the major, and I believe this to be true, the more and more and more I become involved in this, and I've been involved in this now for well over 5 years with Russ Dizdar, the late Russ Dizdar, SaveThem.org, Save Them, or ShatterOps.org, I'm sorry, as well as Save Them. Save Them is a transnational part of the group. Shatter Ops is the domestic U.S. Group. And, of course, Vets for Child Rescue. We have formed a very formidable group or an alliance among us, and we are out there exposing the child sex trafficking and child abuse. And that's what we're doing. Now, you know, it's difficult to win them all. We haven't won them all, obviously. But one thing I want to say is we're working on winning as many as we can. There's one particular case, and Afia, many people have emailed asking about Afia. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can search our previous videos. But Afia, she's still being victimized by a system that's unfair. Why did I bring this up? Because that 1% and that 4% or 5% of the population are dealing in the currency of children. Now, if anyone's out there, I lost contact. I'm not sure. Eric the Tech, do we have Liz Croken's? You have to say
yes.
That. Okay.
I do.
Okay. You have no, folks, you have no idea the threats that we have had to be sued into oblivion should we have, and I was given a list of people to have on. Guess what? I'm going to have every one of them on. So to the law firms out there who are listening, to the FBIs out there who are listening to this, they're coming on, and they're going to name names, spill their guts. I'm telling you the information from their investigative findings. Liz, if you can hear me, I love you, kiddo. You're a brave person, brave young lady, and you've been through it. I know you've been through it. I want you back on. And some other people, but we need to get a hold of Liz to get her back on. And, Lawfare, come on. Go ahead. I'm not afraid of you anymore. Actually, I'm a veteran of Lawfare. So bring it on. I've lined up my legal counsel. They're ready for it. I'm ready to go. The narrative out there, so a number of things to get into. The narrative out there, Cash Patel was recently on a broadcast talking about the footage of January 6th. The more footage that you see, the more it shows that this was a deep state operation. I'm not going to use the word hoax, but the deep state operation. I want to start off with this, but I want to get down into the granular, into the dirt with the Biden family, with Hunter Biden, as well as the WEF and the connection and how this all relates to what I started talking about, the children, because there's a common thread here. and that is the blood of the children, and that is the children themselves to be used as sex toys. By the way, the sickening, and I think I might have, let me just double check here if I put this in the show notes or not. This is built within the show notes, so I'm going to hurry up and get to it. It does show an American Israeli, a young 9-year-old girl being released, and, crap for brains, president. But by the way, De Niro, if you were in my house, okay, you wouldn't be in my house, but if you were, De Niro, I'd smack the crap out of you. By the way, am I allowed to say that? Can I say that?
In your opinion?
No, not in my opinion. In real life. If he was in my house. I'm not threatening him. I'm just saying if he was. He's got no reason to be so. Whatever. But people like De Niro make me want to vomit. Okay? I won't even... The stuff he was in, I used to laugh at what he did, and some of his acting skills. These people are sick. They're sick. They're brainwashed. Anyway, but here's Cash Patel on January 6th. This is a deep state hoax, folks, and listen to what he's got to say. Go ahead.
Legal method of, I know you are, but what am I? This is good. I'm very glad they're really digging deep here into the legal philosophy. You yourself are a prosecutor. You yourself, of course, have defended law enforcement and have worked with law enforcement and have prosecuted big time bad guys with our federal government and in our federal government. And so I would like to play one or two clips for you, Cash, and just get your snap takeaway of what's going on here. Let's begin. Here is a footage of a man who was handcuffed on January 6th by Capitol Police and then fist bumped after being released by Capitol Police, clapped on the back and said, "Have a good day, sir." Can you please explain to me what's going on here?
He's an obvious domestic terrorist and a MAGA supporter. He should be in prison for life. More so than just being a national security prosecutor is the fact that I was a public defender. And due process isn't selective. You cannot select what evidence to provide the public or the defendant. The Constitution requires you provide it all. Just like they buried evidence of innocence during Russiagate when they went up and illegally surveilled Donald Trump, the January 6th tapes show the prosecutors and the DOJ and the FBI, who've created a two-tier system of justice, have rigged these cases by selectively choosing what evidence to hide and what evidence to distribute so that they can maintain this bogus narrative, this disinformation campaign about an insurrection that never was. And just like in Russiagate, when we caught them, when they said, no, Cash Patel and Devin Nunes are lying, the FBI would never lie to a federal court. When we caught them lying, they went on to their next narrative. Donald Trump's a Russian asset. It doesn't matter. No big deal. So now they're doing the same thing. Oh, we know Nancy Pelosi and Bowser declined the National Guard. We know Donald Trump authorized up to 20,000 National Guardsmen and women days before January 6th. But we've got caught, so forget that. Donald Trump's an insurrectionist because he didn't order the National Guard deployed on January 6th. All of this has been perpetrated against the mainstream media to rig the next presidential election and to continue the false narrative to try to take Donald Trump off the ballot. That's the end game here. They now want to say, since he committed insurrection, like this Colorado judge has me on the witness stand and then finds that even though Donald Trump can be on the ballot constitutionally, she finds he committed insurrection. It's legally impossible to make that finding, but they want the narrative out there. And what I literally said in the middle of court, and my courtroom testimony was public. It's on TV. You can go back and watch it. And I was like, so you wanted him to break the law on January 6th and order the deployment of the National Guard, which has never been done in the history of the United States, just so you could have your insurrection narrative? And he didn't do that, but he committed insurrection anyway? Like, these aren't stupid people. Do you know the law firm that's representing the people, the group to kick Donald Trump off the ballot? Do you know the law firm? King and Spalding. Do you know who works there? Sally Yates, Rod Rosenstein, Gina Haspel. Do you know who used to be a member of that law firm as a named partner? Chris Wray.
Incredible.
Folks, think about that. And when you have your Christmas gatherings, whether it's at work or at home, remember what that what Kash Patel said. Remember the name of the law firm. Remember how this whole Fedsurrection was a deep state setup. As a matter of fact, you go to HagmanPI.com and click on the title for today's episode, and that'll open up a box, and all of the links will be in there, that one included. So carrying on with that same insanity, you've got a D.C. judge refusing to let President Trump see evidence in his own case. Now, think about that. As an investigator, I've never seen this happen before, ever. And I've been in many courtrooms. I've never seen this happen before. Again, D.C. judge refusing to let or denying President Trump's request for subpoenas of January 6th committee materials. Now, what this is all about, just briefly, this Tanya Chutkin, this judge, has denied former President Trump motion to subpoena records from the House of Representatives January 6th committee, arguing that his requests are like a fishing expedition. Okay, what do I say to that? There is nothing that should be held that could be exculpatory from President Trump, especially from a committee, the January 6th committee, which was unlawful, illegitimate, and improperly set up or unconstitutionally set up. There was no minority counsel present there or allowed. Now, Chutkin's decision, it was a 7-page decision, criticized the scope and alleged vagueness of her, of President Trump's requests. It also argued that he was improperly applying the federal rule of criminal procedure, the rule number 17 to be precise, to information that could be obtained through other means. It doesn't matter. Now, I'm not an attorney, so I really can't offer much commentary on this. The Epic Times has a story on this. Again, you can find this at HagmanPI.com. This Chutkin said defendant has not met his burdens with respect to his proposed Rule 17C subpoenas. Now, having been, I can't talk about it. Never mind. I can't say any more except to say, I've never seen anything like this ever happen before. She writes in her opinion that he has not sufficiently justified his request for either the missing materials themselves or other or the other 5 categories of documents related to them. Okay, that it should not really matter. I mean, it matters from a procedural but not, or from a legal but not a procedural standpoint. So this is how bad they want President Trump off the ticket. They know right now, If there was an election held tomorrow, and it was just a paper ballot election, a fair election, they know President Trump would win. Would win, absolutely kick Mr. Potato Heads all over the place. He would win every state, I guarantee. Well, maybe not California. I don't know. Maybe even California. Maybe not New York, but He would win probably most of the states handily. Which brings me to that Business Insider article. That bothers me. To my guts, that bothers me. Now, I'm not going to put that on the screen. I really don't want to give that any legs. But what the left is doing, what these communists are doing, is they're seeing what's happening all across the world, and they are trying to put a stop to this WEF, Soros, Gates, the billionaire club. Their agenda. By the way, Seamus Bruner wrote this great book. Forgive me. I'll have the name momentarily, but it just came out, and maybe it's in my notes here. I'm not sure. Hang on just 1 second. I know it is. Control Oligarchs. There it is. Control Oligarchs. If you haven't read that book, you've got to read that book. He names names and goes through the various steps, the various people, whether it's about the central bank digital currency or about the farmland that Bill Gates is buying up, or whether it's about eating insects or the war against energy. I'm telling you right now, the left, or the Uniparty, more precisely, they're all in on this attempt to take down the United States, really the West, but the United States specifically. And speaking about the West, I've got a couple of things that you really need to see. You know, last week we had, or within the last several days, we had a couple of incidents happen, a couple of things happen in Ireland. You had this Algerian who was in Ireland illegally for, count them, 23 years, go on the stabbing spree. Right before that, there was another incident involving an illegal, and I'm not sure from where. I don't know from where or the circumstances surrounding that. But things happen pretty close together. The people of Ireland were dressed down by their leadership, kind of like Biden, if you will. And the city's chief of police. Now, I think we have some of that in, let's see here. This would be, let's do this. Let's take video 4, because Tucker and Bannon were together talking about this. And I know that in the very beginning of this, we're going to start, it's a pretty long video, so we're going to start midway through it, or almost midway through it, but at the very beginning, Tucker and or Steve Bannon discuss what happened in Ireland, what happened in Dublin, the fact that Dublin is in flames. But the focus here I really want people to pay attention to is what's happening in Ireland will happen here at scale. And I believe we are days, weeks, maybe months at best, generously, away from exactly that. If you saw what happened in Ireland, I mean, you had the Irish people, the indigenous, prideful Irish nationalists. They were hacked off for number one, for what happened, and number two, for being dressed down. And then, of course, you had Eric the Tech. Who was that? Conor McGregor. What kind of fighter is that? The world, you know, the, anyway, Conor McGregor, he was involved in saying something or posting something on social media, and they essentially said, hey, we'll arrest you. Since when? So let's take a look at video number 4. Eric's over there thinking, what the heck video is he talking about? Let's take a look at video number 4, beginning roughly at the 10-minute, 20-second mark, forward for about 3 minutes, roughly 3 minutes. And this this applies to the West. I selected this 3-minute clip, but again, I urge you, go to HagmanPI.com, watch the entire interview. You may have seen this, but focus on this particular 3-minute part, because I think this applies right now, and it gives some insight, some foresight into what's going to be taking place. This is video number 4, beginning at about 10:20 into the video. Here it is.
Question of principle. I also think you gave a speech other than they said, hey, it's just kind of common sense. People just trust your gut. People know that something's quite wrong here in the country and throughout many countries of the world. This is what you just laid out is pretty common sense. If your family's been here for many generations, you've helped to build the civic society, the underpinnings of this society, by just being a good householder, by being a good citizen. If you've served this country, if you've paid the taxes, you have a stake in the country. You have something here. And obviously with, you know, Ann Coulter thinks, you know, she estimates there's 40 to 50 million illegal aliens here. We know there's 9 or 10 just on Biden's watch. If you just even talk about the mathematics of that, they come after you for a great replacement theory. What's obvious, just common sense of what's going on. You just look around and you look around in the great cities of the United States right now. I mean, Chicago is basically uninhabitable. New York City Midtown is virtually uninhabitable in many areas. San Diego Airport was taken over this weekend by, I don't know, 400 or 500 illegal aliens who were here, who kind of came into asylum, but nobody, you know, people are now, blue states are shifting them around, are paying millions of dollars to send them from Chicago to other places. It's obvious what's out there. The issue is who has the courage to step forward and say, okay, we have to have a program to stop this immediately. And we also have to have another program to basically get these people out of the country. We don't have a sovereign country. Even someone as powerful as you at the time on, I would argue, the most powerful news network were attacked viciously. And one of the reasons you were attacked is that to come after you and to say, hey, we can even get a Tucker Carlson if he brings this topic up and try to other him, that gets everybody else quiet. It puts fear in people. They don't want to talk about it at work. They're quite they're very concerned about talking about it on the campaign trail, in the halls of Congress. You look at this right now on the Ukrainian deal to get another $80 million for the money laundering operation in Ukraine. The Republican Senate's going to do a couple of cosmetic things on the asylum program just to try to sell it to the American people. There's no talk at all about really sealing the border right now. There's no talk about moving the House of Representatives down to McAllen, Texas. And you hold the House of Representatives there until the border's sealed, until the Rio Grande Valley's safe. Anytime it's brought up, it's considered a mortal sin to the globalist, to the Uniparty. And they're going to make it only, this is one thing, and I'm sure I want to emphasize, this is only going to get worse. It is not going to get better. The Center on Immigration Studies says that we will have another 4 to 6 million illegal alien invaders under this gamed asylum law here before Election Day of next year. And already we know this is costing us $500 billion of money we don't have, and money, quite frankly, is not budgeted. That's why Eric Adams in New York, a sanctuary city, he wants a $5 billion bailout. And because the Republicans and the MAGA are saying, no chance, you're a sanctuary city, you asked for this, you got it, you got to pay for it. The police department there is going to be cut by 20%. The education in New York is going to be cut by $1 billion. So this is getting to be a national crisis, but still you get demonized if you even bring it up. And this is what you're seeing in Ireland. I think the tension among working class people when nobody represents them, nobody can talk about it. And even people like Conor McGregor that come out are immediately prosecuted or investigated, at least, for hate speech.
All right, let's go to video number 4. I can speak. I can enunciate. All right. Video number 4. This is video number 5. This is Dan Bongino now. What you saw was Tucker, the interview of Steve Bannon by Tucker Carlson. Excuse me. This is video number 5. This is Dan Bongino talking about Conor McGregor and Ireland to give you a little bit more of a taste of what is taking place in Ireland. Okay, listen to this very carefully, because he makes some great points here. And by the way, I spoke with Ann Coulter when I was in Washington, and the 40 million figure. We have 330 million citizens in the U.S. The 40 million figure is on top of that. And yes, we're looking at 40 million, not 10 million, not 11 or 12 million illegals in this country. But since 1986, and she had basically research to back this up, when we sat down and we spoke to one another, using today's numbers, or using the numbers since January 2021 to the present, added to her numbers, would equal 40 million and then some change. So that's well over 10% of the American population, and more is coming. All right. This is video number 5, Dan Bongino. Ireland just went full commie, basically. Conor McGregor, is he in trouble? Well, let's find out.
Censorship around the world is metastasizing. Here is Ireland's Taoiseach, their leader over there, Leo Varadkar. Here he is in a video explaining how they need a new legislation to take down hate-filled content on the internet, which, ladies and gentlemen, is code word for what? Communist censorship, Dan? Ding, 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 ding. You're right. Take a listen yourself.
I think it's now very obvious to anyone who might have doubted it that our incitement hatred legislation is just not up to date. It's not up to date for the social media age, and we need that legislation through, and we need it through within a matter of weeks, because it's not just the platforms who have a responsibility here, and they do. There's also the individuals who post messages and images online that stir up hatred and violence, and we need to be able to use laws to go after them individually as well.
Okay, this guy's a commie. This stuff is spreading around the world, folks. Now, I'll show you a tweet coming up in a minute, the same guy who doesn't seem to recognize terrorism, which is interesting because, he recognizes hate online right away. But when it comes to terrorism, he's confused. I'll get to that in a second. Folks, the tweet is horrendous. It's like the worst tweet I think I've seen from a world leader in a long time. But this guy's obviously a communist, straight up commie. Okay, hate speech laws. Hey, what exactly does that mean? Well, the answer is nobody knows what it means, and that's the point. It means whatever the commies say it means. Here's the Green Party senator, this woman O'Reilly. Here she is. She just basically comes out and says it, that yes, we need to violate civil rights in the name of the common good, which is really the excuse every single communist fascist has given since the beginning of time. Listen to yourself.
Pause
that for a second. Okay. Okay. Please listen to what she says. Listen to the words. You will hear them. You're already hearing them in Canada. You're going to be hearing them in the U.S. And this is the mantra of the UN, of the WEF, of the Gates Foundation, and of all of the NGOs that are associated with this globalist agenda. But listen carefully to this woman. Thanks for allowing me to punch in there. Go ahead.
All law, all legislation is about the restriction of freedom. That's exactly what we're doing here, is we are restricting freedom, but we're doing it for the common good. You will see throughout our constitution, yes, you have rights, but they are restricted for the common good. Everything needs to be balanced. And if your views on other people's identities go to make their lives unsafe, insecure, and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, then I believe that it is our job as legislators to restrict those freedoms for the common good.
No, crazy communist lady. No, it isn't. That's not your job. You see, here in the United States, we have a constitution that does restrict a body. You guys know what it restricts? It restricts the government. That's what the Bill of Rights is. It is a bill of negative rights for the government, i.e. what the government can't do to you. It does not restrict the citizen. Laws that restrict the citizen from taking away God-given rights of others. And you do not have a God-given right to not be offended, communist Senator O'Reilly and Taoiseach of Ireland, crazy person that wants hate speech laws. There is no such thing as a God-given right not to be offended. There is a God-given right to assemble, to defend yourself, to speak, to petition your government, and to practice your religion. That's a God-given right. Oh, I don't believe that. I'm a lefty. That's why you're an a-hole. Sorry, there is a God-given right. No, government gives us those rights. Maybe you should read up a little bit and educate yourself so you don't sound like an idiot all the time. Government gives you none of those rights. Those rights are granted by God. All the government is there to protect those collective rights for those people, those individual rights at that collective government level. They are individual God-given rights. Do you understand? This woman has it all backwards. It is not the government's job to determine what you can say and can't say. These people are nuts. Here's Ireland's exalted leader here. Same guy who can't seem to recognize terrorism, but he says he knows what hate speech is. So Emily Hand was a hostage taken by demon savages. Emily's 9, taken by the Hamas demon savages in the October 7th brutal murderous terror assault. And what does Leo Varadkar say? It's a day of enormous joy and relief for Emily Hand and her family. An innocent child who was lost and has now been found and returned. We breathe a massive sigh of relief. Our prayers have been answered. What is this, Disney World? Oh, look, our kid was lost on the Space Mountain ride or whatever. So just to be clear, the same guy running Ireland right now, who wants hate speech laws to put you in jail for suggesting that a biological man is in fact a man, is confused. By the way, he got community noted into the Phantom Zone in one of the greatest community notes ever. Emily Hand was kidnapped by Hamas terrorists on October the 7th. The use of the term loss is inappropriate and fails to highlight that she was released as part of a hostage deal. Folks, these people are sick. And to the Taoiseach of Ireland, you should be freaking embarrassed. And you honestly should probably resign in shame for just being a straight up tool. You want to see video, by the way, in case you think it's a conspiracy theory? And to that dipshit in the chat, it was like, here's a false flag. Yeah, is this a false flag? Is it a Hollywood movie set? Here's Emily Hand, 9, kidnapped by demon savages. Oh, it looks like a real, looks like a warrior there. What is she, an Amazon soldier they kidnapped? Where's her weapon? And, oh, look. It's like a kid. Because she is a kid.
Richard, look, that was a great, great place to pause. I want you to look at her eyes. But by the way, she was cleaned up for the cameras, obviously, before she was brought out to her mother. So look at her eyes. The reason I brought up what I brought up with SaveThem.org, Vets for Child Rescue, and Shatter Ops, specifically ShatterOps.org. You know that look. You know that look. What this little girl has gone through. What she went through. Anymore, I don't know from a human perspective if she'll ever be able to get over that. I guarantee you she was abused. She was gang raped. Not just her, but the little boys, the little girls taken by Hamas, tortured. I'm not saying I know this for a fact, but I look at the eyes and I'm telling you right now, I've seen that look in real life. Craig Sawyer, Luke, and others from the organizations I mentioned, we have seen that look. It's happening in the U.S. This, by the way, about October 7th and about the hostage taking, this was a globalist operation. We're going to stop it right there. I'm going to stop this. You can watch the entire video. I'm certainly glad she's home. But Dan Bongino makes a lot of great points in that video. And again, what I try to do is I grab the video clips to save you time, and then you can look at the rest of the video clips on your own when you have the time, if you have the time. But the best of the best, because this, okay, you're looking at what's going on in Ireland. You're looking at the hostilities, or the attacks that happened in Israel with Hamas, and currently with Hezbollah. The entire Middle East is on fire. Compliments of Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and that person, former CIA director, whose name I won't even mention right now because it would just send me into orbit. Yeah, I will. John Brennan, okay? Those people who attempted to change things in the Middle East, whether it was Benghazi or the Arab Spring or whatever, the template is, and the attacks, okay, with against Israel. These are all globalist operations. These are not just one-offs or simply one army or one terrorist group deciding to act whenever they act. These are globalist pushed. Please understand that. And again, the currency of the globalists are the children. And when you see the look in her eyes, my goodness, understand that what she's been through, again, I don't know if she'll ever recover, her and the other hostages, especially the young children, will ever recover. I want to thank our supporters. Thank you so much for all that you do. I want to say this. I do try to be a good steward. I do. We do assist other organizations, whether it be Vets for Child Rescue or ShatterOps.org, or even Save Them, the transnational group. We attempt to support them as best we can with the support we receive. So you're helping the children. And also, too, when we have we sell coffee, for example, and a portion of the proceeds goes to those organizations. So we thank you for that. And I want to thank our other sponsors, including trimwithdoug.com. You know, guys, we can all trim together, right? When it comes to the stubborn belly fat, we're all searching for this miracle pill, aren't we? Generally, you have to use multiple products that target specifically belly fat differently to manage excess weight around the stomach. You know, around your belt line, right? So some products may focus on abdominal exercises or dietary changes, while others might focus on boosting metabolism or controlling cravings, but you can never seem to get that one, to me, the perfect product. Well, you have it now. I found an exceptional alternative that uses naturally sourced and science-backed ingredients from Mother Earth, and it's really more effective at targeting belly fat, enhancing metabolism, and promoting a toned midsection better than most weight management products I've seen. And most assuredly, anything that you can find on store shelves. Tens of thousands of five-star reviews back up the notion that this amazing pill is not only a breakthrough in a bottle, but it also helps remove the need for us to use countless diet pills and fat-burning supplements. Look, they work, but man, the convenience of this and the efficacy that I've seen from this, I back this 100%. But there's more. If you place your order right now, you'll also receive over half, that's 51% off, free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, two new ebooks titled Top 10 Foods That Burn Belly Fat. Believe me, it's surprising and they do work. And Top 8 Exercises to Reduce Belly Fat, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and last but not least, free shipping. Simply go to trimwithdoug.com. That's trimwithdoug.com. Trimwithdoug.com to take advantage of this limited time deal before they sell out. Folks, they're going to sell out soon, so do it now. And hey, get ahead of the holiday gut-busting food binges, right? We need to do that. So that's trimwithdoug.com. And I want to thank you for being a supporter. And also, I want to thank them for their support as well. Also part of the globalist agenda is something I want to show you, also from Dan Bongino. And again, I'll show you a piece of this, and you can watch the entire thing yourself. But New York just hit peak crazy. You know, when we spoke about, when we speak about the SARS-CoV-2, the coronavirus, where did it come from, you know, or whatever, however we speak about it, we also speak about the response by individuals in power. We also speak about, in addition to that, we also speak about the people who are invading our country as well, because that's part of the globalist agenda to erode our national sovereignty, whether it be through illegal edicts or bringing in people. Well, Dan Bongino's got something to say about New York City and how New York, or New York in general, I'm sorry, not New York City, but New York, how they just hit peak crazy. This has not gone away. And I mentioned the two things, the coronavirus, as it's known, as well as the invasion, as everyone can see, together. Think about both when you watch this video clip from Dan Bongino. Here we go.
New York is the perfect example of crazy right now. New York has a significantly elevated terror threat. I'll get to that in a second. Even being reported by mainstream. No. Yeah, damn right. New York has a huge terror threat right now because the demon savages love killing people around the holidays. Joe, we're not talking about this right before the show. We were talking about how the demon savages have, they just like to ruin everything. They are not, they don't war like men. They war like cowards. I was reading this article yesterday. I love the you know, the war and Napoleon's out. So I was reading about, you know, Waterloo and other things. And I love the history of war. And it's crazy how even in the Civil War, people get sick a lot. And if a guy was like doing his business, it was considered like not the gentlemanly thing to do to shoot him in combat. Because even in war, men behave like men, not the demon savages. They want to kill people over the holidays because they're demon savages. So what's New York spending its time on? Security? No. Here's a report on what Kathy Hochul and New York are fighting in court. They are fighting desperately to be able to bring back COVID quarantine camps and quarantines and all this stuff in court because they want the ability to put you in one of these camps and quarantine you in your house. And they think the government has endless power. Get the hell out of New York. How many times I got to tell you before it's too late? I'm begging you because I love you. Here, listen to this news report. If you think I'm making this up, check this out.
What would be the potential impact of this ruling for New York, for the rest of America? As you've said, it could have an impact on the whole nation.
Yes. So what has happened with this ruling is that they have said, in essence, the lawsuit last year, the ruling there, isn't valid anymore. So what that means is that the Department of Health and Governor Hochul are open to reissuing that regulation if they want to, which means they can reinstitute their isolation and quarantine procedures regulation, which the judge had struck down last year. So if they can reissue that now, that means that it's going to be a valid regulation and it's going to be enforceable by the Department of Health, the governor, the attorney general. So it's really a dangerous situation.
So why am I playing this? Why would I play a New York story for an international audience? We got Australians in the chat. We got people from all over the world. Why would I play this? Because this is the Democrat plan. Remember how I opened the show? If you, and based on your response in the chat, you know I'm right. If you were intentionally trying to destroy the United States, i.e. implement a top-down tyranny, what would you do different than this? Step one, implement emergency powers. Emergency being defined as anything you like, i.e. an emergency for a virus that if you're under 70 has a 0.07 fatality rate. We discussed that yesterday. That sounds like an emergency. No, it doesn't sound like an emergency. It sounds like a virus that causes trouble, but generally doesn't kill people. That's not what it's about to them. The ability to declare an emergency is an open-ended book for them to be able to take away your civil liberties. They just need an excuse. COVID? Oh, perfect excuse. We'll take it. Develop emergency powers. Step one. Get the camps ready and fight it in court till the end. Get the hell out of these states. Second, wipe out what it means to be a citizen in that state. The United States, New York State, it doesn't matter. As a citizen in a constitutional republic, you pay taxes to finance national defense, maybe locally roads and bridges, a court system, a police, a fire department. The Democrats don't want that. They love chaos. Democrats love chaos because of the Walking Dead rule. They want you afraid, because when you're afraid, you'll give up your civil liberties, just like they did in The Walking Dead when they walked in the prison to get away from the zombies and locked the door. You isolate yourself in a prison if you're afraid of what's on the outside. It's why the Democrats love fear, okay? You got to make sure being a citizen means nothing. The world, it's a global environment. Everybody's welcome. Come on in. I want you to watch what happens now as people start to notice up in New York. There's a food line on Thanksgiving. Step two, wipe out the value of citizenship, open the borders, and let all your preferred voters, if you can get them, because they write about demographic destiny, Democrats, all the time. It's their line. Get them all to come in. Here's what happens when people start to notice, though. They're starting to fight over scarcer and scarcer resources. Tax dollars, food. There's a food line every year in New York for Thanksgiving turkeys. And a bunch of local residents started to notice in these Democrat areas that a lot of people are showing up to take their food who don't really belong there. Step two, wipe out the value of citizenship. Open up the borders.
In one neighborhood in Queens between NYCHA tenants and newly arrived migrants.
Well, tensions are growing with not enough food to go around.
Why do we have to take the butt of everything, okay? This community here is already suffering.
The residents living in NYCHA's Queensbridge houses look forward to the mobile food pantries that show up weekly. But over the past year, they have witnessed 8,000 migrants move into their neighborhood, and they have also noticed the migrants are also starting to take their stuff.
They was first online for the turkeys this morning. If they tell you to be there at 11 o'clock, you get there like 10:30, 10:45, but they already out there. The line is from over there to over here.
Free food giveaways, especially during the holidays, have become a source of tension between longtime New Yorkers struggling to get by and newly arrived migrants who are using the system to survive.
All right, you can stop it right there. Did you notice how he spoke about the quarantine camps, the court? Well, actually, Bobby Ann Cox was speaking about the court ruling that allows quarantine camps to be open in New York State, and then moved to the illegals in New York State, specifically in New York City in that case, that were pushing out the residents of the city. Now, the reason I stopped it there, but the reason I wanted that played is think about the correlation between the quarantine camp as a so-called place, if an emergency is declared about some health emergency, it could be used for that, or it could be used to house, oh, I don't know, the displaced from New York, or perhaps even as quarters for the people that come in as illegals. But regardless, it's not good. And you've got leftist courts upholding these rulings when in fact there's no legitimate basis for that. And his larger point as well is, even though you're a citizen of the United States, you're being subjugated by New York State law or by the court findings or the court interpretation of New York State law under the leftist, in this case, Kathy Hochul, as governor. So this is how bad things are. So when we spoke about Ireland and what's taking place there, you're seeing people rise up and, hey, they're going after the leadership. That is coming to the U.S. You see the problem, the reaction to the problem in the government's solution, which is diametrically opposite the people's solution, which they're taking they're not taking this lying down. The same is coming here. You're seeing the embers. That last video clip, those are the embers. I'm telling you right now, those are the embers that will ignite this globalist agenda, this Nazi road to this global citizenship. And that's what we're looking at. I want to just point this out about the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. Like Rockefeller and Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab had power that was not created in a vacuum. We all know this. Klaus Martin Schwab was born on March 30th, 1938, in Ravensburg, southern Germany. And I can still hear Russ Dizdar talking about Ravensburg and the castle there and the occult nature of that area. Ravensburg is roughly halfway between Munich and Zurich and close to the Swiss border. Now, at the time, Ravensburg was the epicenter of the early Nazi eugenics program. And by the way, the Ravensburg castle, a lot of occult activity taking place there. His father, Schwab's father, Eugen Wilhelm Schwab, was a managing director of a Zurich-based subsidiary of an engineering firm called Esser Weiss, which was a major supplier in the Nazi war effort, and one of Hitler's it was a model nationalist company for Hitler. Now, Schwab's father, he was a Nazi collaborator. He belonged to several German National Socialist groups, including two of the most prominent pro-Nazi organizations, the German Labor Front and the National Socialist People's Welfare. His Ravensburg branch of his company used war prisoner slave labor to manufacture industrial war machinery. Now, why did I give you that background on Schwab? Because it is those particular values, if you will, that he's carried through and implemented through his World Economic Forum. So everything I showed you up until right now, that man, and by the way, the mentor, Kissinger's mentor, Kissinger's mentor, that's who that man is. And we're seeing the Kissingers of the world and the late Zbigniew Brzezinski. We're seeing their offspring, specifically with Brzezinski, push forth this globalist agenda through tools like the mainstream media and other formats. So I wanted to at least give you that background, because a lot of people were asking about the background of Klaus Schwab. There you have just a slight smattering of the background, and we're going to be running out of time. We're running out of time. So, we out of time? We're out of time. Folks, I hope there's so much more. In fact, check the show notes. You're going to see a couple of graphics there with respect to the FBI and the IRS coup takeover of President Trump. This compliments of Marco Polo. I'll put those in the show notes. Please take a look at them. Know who these people are by face and by name. May God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for tuning in. And please tell others about this show.